Take your Bible, if you will, this morning, and I want you to turn to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5. My sermon this morning, there are sometimes when I just preach. Sometimes I teach. Today I'm going to do some teaching. It's going to be a little bit of a mixture of both. Every once in a while, we just need to be reminded of some primary doctrines of the Bible. This morning, I'll do that. We have some new people in our church. I think they need to hear this and learn it, and we all need to be reminded of it. 1 John chapter 5, stand with me if you will, please. Let your minds find verse number 4, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, where the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." We'll find our text in verse 7, where it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. I ask that you'll speak to us. I ask that you'll help us to be better because we came to church today. Thank you for the music that we have heard. Thank you for the testimony that we have watched. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have gone out of their way to be at church today. Now, God, I pray that as a result of being here, that we will learn and grow and will be better Christians because of it. Lord, you know the sermon today is about your Spirit. And so, Father, it would be wonderful if in an extra special way you would take the teaching and get glory to thyself. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. I call this sermon The Simple Truth About the Holy Spirit. The Simple Truth About the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes people that believe right shy away a little from the teaching about the Spirit of God. There's no reason for us to shy away from it. There's no reason whatsoever. I think the Bible's very clear about the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. In the passage of Scripture that we just read in 1 John 5, 7, he's referred to as the Holy Ghost, and that is a proper term. It is a scriptural term. There's nothing wrong with that term. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is of great importance in the New Testament church. It's an urgent teaching, and we've got to learn it. We're not a Pentecostal church. The tongues that are misinterpreted by some were languages that were used to help spread the gospel. We're not a charismatic church. You won't get slain in the Spirit here. You might get slain by a bus kid, but you won't be slain in the Spirit here. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart here. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do believe in the Holy Ghost. We do believe that God works in a supernatural way. This last week, I was preaching in Memphis, Tennessee with some dear friends of mine on the Tuesday night service. As the night progressed, you could watch the Holy Spirit of God get deeper and deeper involved in what God was doing. It was a conference. Boy, it wasn't even totally invitation time, and people started to come down the aisle. And boy, by the time the invitation hit, there were people at the altar. They were weeping. They were crying. There were people getting right with God. Preachers had fallen on their face, and God was doing a supernatural work. But just so you know, it wasn't some wacky, off-the-wall kind of weird behavior. It was the Holy Spirit of God coming to do what He does so well. I believe in the Spirit of God. Some, because of their fear of teaching on the Spirit of God, can lean away from it. And I think, therefore, limit themselves. You'll hear me pray often around here, Spirit of God, do a work. I'm not afraid of the Spirit of God. I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of what He can do. But I think it helps us all to understand Him. You're always going to find about me. If you ever bring friends to church, you'll never be able to bring them and say, "Boy, this guy teaches so deep. I'm not deep anything." Let me put it this way. I'm deep nothing. I'm not deep at anything. I'll always, though, teach. I think, in a very simple fashion. That's, you're just stuck with a kind of a country boy preacher, and that's the only thing I know how to do. Today, though, I want to tell you, I just call this the simple truth about the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to learn it. I want you to know it. Let me say this first of all. At salvation, the Holy Spirit of God gets sealed in you. When you get born again, the Spirit of God comes within you and He is sealed there. Listen to this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." When you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, it is actually the Holy Spirit of God that comes in. You remember when we read earlier in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, it said there are three that bear witness of God in heaven. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They make up one God, but if you will, there are three parts to that God. Like an egg, you've got the yolk, you've got the white, and you've got the shell. It's one egg and three parts. And really, you don't have all of one unless you have them all. But our God is a triune God. He's a three-part God. Now, when you got saved, this is what you did. Someone said to you, "Why don't you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you?" And you did. And when that happened, Jesus said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit into them." You said, "Jesus, come into my heart and save me." Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, came into you, and God said, "I'm going to seal that Spirit inside you." Every person that sits under the sound of my voice today that's born again, you have living within you God in the person of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this. We're preparing to sell our property here, and we've gone to work on our shed out here. Brother Mike put a new door on it, and Brother Daniel came and painted it, and we've tried to get it cleaned up and everything. It's got a lock on it. So here at the church, we have a shed right out there. We put some valuable things in it. Tools are in it. Those tools help us to secure the church. They help us to build anything new that needs to be built around here. With those tools that are in that shed, you can fix things that are broken. And it's very comforting to know it's got a padlock on the door. Nobody can get in or get out, if you will. Well, the tools and what we need are sealed in there. And there's only one key. There's just one key to that thing. Now, let me explain. God uses your body like the storage shed for the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to be irreverent, but God, the Holy Spirit, is very valuable to God. The Holy Spirit is a tool of God. Jesus bought and paid for you, and when He puts the Spirit of God in you, that's very valuable. Now, God then uses that Holy Spirit to secure you about your salvation, to build up your faith, to fix things that are broken in you. He uses it to comfort us. And did you know that the Holy Spirit, just like the tools are padlocked in that shed, the Holy Spirit is padlocked in you. There's only one key. God has it. And the Holy Spirit is sealed inside you. So just like we put tools in that shed, locked them in, one key, God takes the tool of the Holy Spirit at the time of your salvation. The Spirit is locked in you, padlocked with God's seal, one key, and God has that key. You say, what's it for? God has it. We use the tools in that shed to do a work around the church. God uses the tool of the Holy Spirit to do a work around you and around the church. So, number one is this. At salvation, the Holy Spirit of God is sealed in the believer. Number two, the Holy Spirit provides us the assurance of our salvation. Listen to this verse. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, I will point something out to you. When God is made, when we refer to God in the Scripture, it's always the word God or Jehovah or Jesus. Well, it's a proper noun, but it's also God. It should be capitalized all the time. In the passage of Scripture that I just read, listen to how it's written. The Spirit itself, that's a capital S, beareth witness with our spirit, that's a little s, that we are the children of God. What's that saying is, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You have a spirit. I'll use the term, if I could, and this isn't exactly right, but your attitude. The Spirit of God bears witness with your attitude or your spirit that you are a son of God. Not that you might be, or that you could be, or that there's a possibility of it, but that you are. In other words, the Spirit of God was sealed inside you the day that you got saved, and one of His purposes, one of the uses of this tool that God has locked into the shed of your heart, is to help you to be secure about your salvation. Remember, He's padlocked in there. Look, when God put the Spirit of God in you, He said He is sealed in there until the day of redemption. You say, when is that? That's when you get to heaven. And until then, He's locked in there. You say, I worry about whether I'm saved or not. If you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart, the moment you did that by faith, the Spirit of God moved in. God put the padlock on. He locked that padlock down. He said, now that Spirit staying in there, that is proof of your salvation all the way till you get to heaven. And at that point, the Spirit of God could come out because you're in heaven with Jesus Himself. But He sealed until the day of redemption. You say to the Spirit of God, are you in there? He says, yes. How long are you in there? He says, till you get to heaven. I say, who says? And He says, God said. Well, where did He say that? In the book He wrote. And I have to say, okay, good deal. Did you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? If you did, then He came into your heart. And God said, grab the padlock. Padlock that thing down. I'm never going to lose Him. And He padlocks it. When you doubt your salvation, you're just not listening to the Spirit that's locked inside you. He sealed in you until the day of redemption. Once you're saved, the Bible teaches, you're always saved. And God sealed His Holy Spirit in you to prove that. You don't have the key. He has a key. Now, there are some of you that know where the key is for our shed. Well, you did, because I hid it. You say, what for? For this illustration. There's only one key. God has that key. God said, once I save you, I'm sealing the deal. I never want to lose you again. That's because God loves you. So you see, when you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in and He's padlocked, He's sealed within you. He then is there to remind you that you are saved. That's why it says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And we are. You can know that you're saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now listen to this. Here's what happens to you. When you're in submission to the Spirit that's within you, you probably won't find yourself doubting your salvation. When people start to get away from submitting to God, and now they get some sins active in their life and things, and the Spirit that's within them gets shoved in a corner and it gets ignored, you might get to the point where you start going, I wonder if I'm saved. You know why? Because you're not listening to the Spirit of God. But if you'll begin to listen to the Spirit of God, you know, people who are living right and listen to the Spirit of God don't usually walk around doubting their salvation. Say, why? That Spirit's active. They're communicating with the Spirit. You know, if you doubt the Holy Spirit, if you doubt your salvation, could I recommend to you that every day you wake up and you submit yourself to the Spirit of God, and your doubts will go away. Because His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the Son of God. Number three, there are some jobs of the Holy Spirit. There are some jobs. One of the biggest things that he does for us is this. He empowers us for soul winning. One of the primary purposes for the Spirit of God. Listen to this verse. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." You see, it is the Holy Spirit that entices people to get saved. And when the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, God said, the primary reason I'm giving this is so that you as Christians have a power to witness and to get other people born again. It's not all about just some big emotional stir. And I'm not against emotion. But I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God was primarily given to empower you and I so we can go to a lost and dying world, and there is a spiritual enticement for them to come to the Savior. I mean, let's face it. You and I are going to go out and talk to somebody that they're not saved, they don't go to church, they're not interested in God, and we're going to go tell them about a God they cannot see. And we're going to warn them about a hell that they cannot see, and tell them about a heaven that they cannot see, and ask them to pray to a Jesus that they cannot see. And we're going to ask them to do that right there in front of everybody in public. You say, how in the world can I go out and tell them about a place they can't see, hell, and a place they can't see, heaven, and a Jesus they can't see, and all of that? How am I going to pull that off? The Holy Spirit of God. You say, what does He do? While you go to witness, He talks to him on the inside, while you talk to him on the outside, and those two combine, and they make a supernatural power. And you'll say, would you like to get saved? And I'm thinking, this is so dumb. Why would they want to pray about not going to a place they can't see so they can go to a place that they can't see and ask a person they can't see to save them? How? Why would they do that? And I'll say, do you want to pray? And they'll say, oh, yeah. And I'm going, how'd that happen? I'll tell you how. The Spirit of God. He was given so that you and I can witness and have the extra boost that we need, because a lost and dying world can't make sense of what we are trying to tell them without His help. That's one of His jobs. Secondly, one of His jobs is to lead the saved people to understand His Word. The Spirit of God helps you and I to witness. Secondly, the Spirit of God helps us to understand the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us." God has given us many things in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit helps you and I to understand the Scripture. He, the Holy Spirit, is our internal Bible instructor. He's our internal Bible teacher. Lost people don't understand that. And they don't understand. You say, you know, there are certain things you could talk to a lost person about, and they won't get it. You say, why? They don't have the internal interpreter. They don't have the internal Bible teacher. There are people that will come up to me and they're lost and they're on the way to hell. Say, well, brother, why don't you tell me about this doctrine of such and such? And I'll say, you know what? Could we start with something else? I know no matter how much I explain certain parts of the Bible to a lost person, they're not going to get it. But that same lost person, if they'll get saved, get the Spirit of God padlocked inside them, then when I go to show them what the Bible says about something, the Spirit of God on the inside makes something click in their brain while I'm teaching it on the outside, and then suddenly they understand. There are some of you, before you got saved, there are all sorts of things about the Bible you did not understand. You got saved, and all of a sudden you said, well, this began to make sense. Now I see. What happened? The Spirit of God helps you to understand the Scripture. I was preaching in Houston, Texas, and it was an all-Spanish church. Now, the only thing I know, I do speak a little Spanish. For instance, burrito, hot sauce, taco, enchilada, guacamole. But when you preach stuff like that, they all say amen, but you don't get anywhere. Hot sauce, amen. Burrito, amen. So when I went to this church, and they all speak Spanish, I kind of wondered, Pastor, I don't know, you know, I don't speak a lick of Spanish. He said, I know, but I am going to be your interpreter. So I preached to that big congregation of all Spanish-speaking people. I was the only gringo there. I would speak. I spoke in English, and he interpreted. Now, that pastor interpreted my teaching in Spanish so the people could learn and understand. You know what? That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does for you and I. This is a spiritual language, the things of God, and what the Holy Spirit does. You and I might say, you know, there's some parts of the Bible I just don't get it, and I don't understand it. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to be your interpreter. You read it. I'll be explaining it. He explains it to your brain. He explains it to your heart. He explains it to your perception and your attitude, and he interprets for you. That's what the Spirit of God does. So one of his jobs is to help you get people saved. One of his jobs is to help you understand the Scripture. One of his jobs is to convict you. To convict you. In John chapter 16, verse number 8, it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. That is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit of God comes, he is going to reprove us of our sin. The word reprove there, that's reproof or conviction. He makes us notice our sins. Did you know he's supposed to make you feel bad about your sin? He convicts us. You say, how does he do that? Through his word, through his man, through his preaching, through our conscience. But the Spirit of God uses some tools and it convicts us of our sin. So you all know, I like church to be upbeat. I like it to be exciting. I don't like it to be dead. I don't like it to be drab. But there are some people that say, you know, I just love going to church because it always makes me feel so good. I'm going to apologize to you right now. There are going to be times that you're going to come to my church and you're not going to feel so good. But if I may, I hope it's not my fault. I hope it's the Holy Spirit's fault. Because there's going to be some times when God says, preacher, preach on this sin, I'm going to preach on that sin. Did you know that if you're committing that sin, you're not supposed to feel good about it? You know, there are times when you're to walk in here, and I'm going to say something, and it's going to get in your craw. You're going to say, well, I know what he's talking about. Well, I know where this thing's going. And you're going to be guilty. And did you know that when you're guilty of sin, you're still not supposed to be all fluffy and happy and saying, yeah, I'm a sinner and I like it. No, you're supposed to say, I'm a dirty, rotten, low down, good for nothing, scum of the earth sinner, and I need to get my heart right with God. You're not supposed to feel good about doing bad. And it's the Spirit of God that comes to the Christian that gets on them. He gets on them. That's how it's supposed to be. And so, the Spirit of God that got sealed in you and I, that padlocked Spirit of God, he's there to help us understand the Scripture. He's there then to help us to get other people saved. He's there to convict us. And he's there to guide our lives. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 29, it says, then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. See, God's Spirit will give us direction. Now, you need to understand something. His Spirit and his Word guide us together. They always agree. They never disagree with each other, and they always perfectly match. I've watched people say, well, the Spirit of God told me to stay home from church this morning. You knucklehead, the Spirit of God didn't tell you to stay home from church. Oh, the Spirit of God told me to buy that beer. Why, sure it did. No, the Spirit of God always agrees with the Word of God. Always, 100% of the time. You say, why do you say that? Because he said, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're one in the self same. They don't disagree with each other. There's perfect unity between them. But the Spirit of God guides us. They always perfectly match. Hey, they'll guide you to win souls. They'll guide you to live the Bible truth. They'll guide you to remove sin from your life and put truth into your life. They'll guide you to add righteousness to your life. And let me say to you, yeah, people get religious and they sometimes get spooky about the leading of the Spirit of God. I'm amazed at what some people say to me. They get this real spooky look on their face, and they begin to talk and say, "Oh, the Spirit of God led me." And I'm thinking, you know, the Spirit of God led you to do that wacky thing, but when was the last time the Spirit of God led you to go win someone to Jesus Christ? When was the last time the Spirit of God led you to separate in your life something that very obviously you aren't catching on to? Boy, we like that leading stuff. Ooh. I've been led by the Spirit of God to do a lot of things, but it always coincided with the Word of God, and most of the time it had something to do with keeping somebody out of hell and grasping an understanding of the Scripture. Boy, they can turn that into something that God, I don't think, ever really intended. And I'm not trying to minimize what the Spirit of God does. I think there are times that the Spirit of God will give you specific leadings. But you might want to listen some of the other times when He's trying to lead you to do something you didn't want to do. But when you wanted to be led to do something and it's what you wanted, you can blame it on Him. I felt the Spirit lead. What, maybe you just wanted to go fishing. And so, the Spirit of God, He has duties. There are things that He does. He empowers us for soul winning. He helps us to understand the Scripture. He convicts us of our sin. He guides us in life. And then, He comforts us. He's the great comforter. In John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever." It is great to know that we have a comforter that exceeds man. There are some times when man can't comfort you. God is the only one that can reach deep into your heart to where the pain is. And the Holy Spirit is that comforter. He secures us. When our hearts are broken, He's the tool of God that mends broken hearts. He heals from the inside. He sees from the inside. He knows from the inside. Hey, and if nobody on the face of this earth knows of your pain or your heartache, He does. When I watch people go, that maybe they face death or a major heartache, I'll say to them over and over and over and over again, the Spirit of God can help you. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And whatever it is, when they don't, you ought to watch their behavior thereafter. It's not comforting behavior. Oh, they're self-destructing. The Spirit of God is there to comfort us. Folks, it wouldn't be fair for God to say to you and me, "You keep your chin up and you have joy and you have peace." It wouldn't be fair for Him to say all that to us and then for us to live in this life and face all the heartaches that we face without Him giving us some way to have joy in the midst of the storm. Now, how in the world could God say to us, "You better have joy in the midst of your heartache"? I have to turn back and say, "I can't do that." God said, "I know you can't do that by yourself, but I sealed and padlocked inside you a piece of me, and it is all, it's an all-powerful, it's a piece of me that can do what I'm telling you to do." God can't unfairly command you and I to live this book without giving us the wherewithal to live it. And He gave you the Spirit of God so that you have the extra energy. There's something that the Spirit of God adds to you that you couldn't do yourself. When I say to you, God's never going to put a burden on you that's bigger than you to bear. God keeps that word. You don't have to bear it by yourself. You've got somebody sealed inside you that will help you to get from point A to point B. He will help carry you. Now, you have to do your part. And just so you know, so I don't think He's doing His part right now because I'm not making it. Sorry, He's doing His part. There's somebody else involved in your problem that's not. You say, "Who's that?" It's you. It's me. And so, the Holy Spirit of God, I believe His biggest purpose is to help us witness. If you really study Acts chapter 1, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Why? Why on Pentecost was that power given? It says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Primary purpose. Primary purpose. Some of you go to all the secondary and all those other purposes. You better get back after the primary purpose, and that's keeping people out of hell. The Holy Spirit will help you to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction in your life. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. Now, stay with me. There's more teaching. At salvation, you got all of the Holy Spirit. He moved into you. All of Him. He was padlocked inside you. All of Him. You get all of Him. But here's the problem. He moved inside of you, but He didn't get all of you. All of the Holy Spirit got sealed in you at salvation. God does not unpadlock the door to throw a little more of the Holy Spirit in from time to time. God's not going to your padlock and say, oh, I'm gonna take the padlock off for a second and give Jeff Owens a little more of my spirit. Oh, put the padlock back on. Oh, I'm gonna unlock it and throw a little more in there. Oh, I'm gonna lock it back. That's not how He does it. He gave you the entire Holy Spirit and locked Him in there. He's all there. But you have to let Him fill your entire life. See, when you trusted Jesus as Savior, He sealed His Spirit in you. Now you must trust that same Holy Spirit in every area of your life. You receive Him as Savior by faith. Now you live for Him by faith. Let Him fill every area of your life. So get this. At salvation, you got all of Him. He didn't get all of you. Now, I'll show you something. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's Him. When this is you, and it's a blockhead on purpose. That's you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit gets put inside you. He's locked in there. Now remember, you get all of Him. So He's put in there. But He doesn't get all of you. This is your life. You say, I'd like to be filled with the Spirit. Then you must let Him inflate His influence to fill you up. You have all of Him. You just have to make a way for Him to have all of you. We'll see if this works. Filled with the Holy Spirit. He's all in there. He was all in there. Every day of your life, you have to decide, is He deflated or is He inflated? You said, I want to get saved. Ask Jesus to save you. Jesus saved me. The Holy Spirit came in. He came into you. Now, you got all of Him, but you will decide how much of you He gets. I'll come back to that. Every time you trust God's Word and obey it, you're making it so the Spirit of God may expand in your life, filling more and more of your life. Some people want to take the Spirit of God and make it, it's just all about this emotional feeling, this fluffy feeling. It has to do with the spoofle dust of God. Bring, bring. I'm sorry. The Spirit of God is a person and He's sealed within you at salvation. God said, I'll give you all of Him, but it is His job to try to fill all of you. But when you won't let Him, He deflates in your life. He'll go stand in a corner. God said, is that person saved? Well, let's look and see. Yep, there's the Spirit of God inside them. Still saved, padlocked in there. That's the only thing you can't screw up in your Christian life. Once you get saved, you're always saved because you're locked down, tied down. He said, I lost them once. I'm never going to lose them again. I'll save them for sure. But how their life turns out is going to be up to them, not on the basis of did they get all of the Spirit, but on the basis of did the Spirit get all of them? And so if I'll do what's right, I'm dizzy. I'm letting Him fill me. But you can push Him into a corner. You can limit Him. You can deflate His presence. It's actually so you know. You say, what inflates Him? The breath of God. You go to the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God breathed man into existence. Now some of you, you're saved, but you're deflated. Some of you used to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then think of all the ways you've changed your life and you've accepted things that you should have never accepted. You've gone backwards in your lifestyle. You've deflated Him. You know what some of you need? You need to reinflate Him. Now, you have to let Him fill you. You know, did you know I can't inflate your fullness? You can't inflate my fullness. Now, you could pray for me and I could pray for you, but I'm the one that has to let Him fill me. You know, I could pray for Brother Robert here. I could pray, oh, Spirit of God, come upon Brother Robert. Oh, come upon Brother Robert. And what I mean is filling, filling, filling. But if Robert's saying, ain't nobody filling me. I could pray until I'm blue in the face. But if he does not allow it personally, he can't be inflated with the Spirit that's sealed within him. We can influence one another. You know what? Today, I'm trying to influence you with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I can preach to you, and I can preach about letting Him fill you. I can teach to you, and teach you about letting Him fill you. I can pray for you, and pray that He will fill you. I can pray with you that He will fill you. I can encourage, and I can entice. But there's one problem. All of that does no good unless you let Him fill you. The fullness of the Spirit of God in your life is between you and God. That's my wife's fault. No, it's not. It's my husband's fault. No, it's not. It's my parents' fault. No, it's not. Every individual that's ever been born again is personally responsible to God to allow the Spirit of God that was sealed in them until the day of redemption to fill their life and to allow the fullness of the Spirit to control them. Just so you know, there's no transfer of power between human beings. If I went over and laid my hands on Robert and said, Wowie Kawasaki. And I was trying to transfer. I can't transfer the Spirit of God from my life into him. He was given the Spirit. It's sealed in him. Now, what are you going to do with it? And stay with me. The Holy Spirit fullness is not a one-time occurrence, by the way. I remember the very first time that I felt like maybe the Spirit of God had been allowed to fill my life. I was a 16-year-old preacher boy. I'll never forget it. It was raining. I was outside my church on my knees in front of my church building. We were supposed to have soul winning that night. Nobody showed up. I was the only one. I was a 16-year-old boy. And back when I was 16, I wanted to serve God. I've always just had a passion. I just want to help people. That's all I want to do. I remember it began to rain, and I was out there praying on my knees in front of the church. The church was locked. Nobody came. I could feel raindrops hitting the back of my neck. And I just felt like God was doing something special. Because I said, oh God, I want to serve you. I just want to do the right thing. That's all I want. And it was pouring down rain, but I felt hot, dry. I was wet, but somehow I just knew God was working in a special way in my life that night. And my ministry began to go and take off. But let me explain. That night didn't do for the next day. You don't get filled once and then it's everlasting. Sorry. Oh, you see what my balloon keeps doing? I can fill it. And then if I let it, it'll go down. The only way I'd keep this thing blown up is there's got to be either constant pressure or when it goes down, I got to blow it back up. Here's what you're supposed to do. You're to get up every morning and say, fill me. And then midway through the day, and you say, look
at my balloon.
Blow it back up. And I wish it was as easy as blowing into that thing. Because somebody's saying, I'm getting me a balloon, brother. But it'll go down. Some of you like being around this. Say, preacher, I love it when God gets all over a service at our church and I just know God's speaking. Well, you got a balloon too. What would happen if everybody's balloon was inflated? What happened if the teenagers wanted an inflated balloon? So I just attend here. Well, I don't care whether you attend here, you love the church or hate the church. You have a Holy Spirit living within you. If you're a born-again Christian, you are to be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means everywhere you walk, your balloon's inflated. Very few people walk with God to the point that they can say that they're filled on a constant basis. You say, why? Because it's so much mental work. I'll say to the Lord, I'll get up in the morning and say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. About an hour later, I've forgotten all about it. I'll say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. It's going to be all day and I only lasted 39 minutes. But I try to go throughout the day and say, I forgot again, but I'm going to get this thing inflated again. You cause yourself grief all day long. You say, why? Because of this. This. There's your comfort. There's your wisdom. There's your understanding. There's your power. I'd really like to do something for God. Well, you can't do anything with God or for God with this. You want to do something for God? The more often that thing is inflated in your life, the more often you are walking in the Spirit and obeying the Scripture, and God can use you in a supernatural way. When you seek or ask for His fullness, you're saying, I want you to control every area of my life. I want you to fill up every area of my life. You're asking Him to expand Himself. There's some of you right now, He's in 50% of your life because you've allowed Him that much control. There are people in here. You have parts of your life you're going to control and you're not going to let Him have. You say, what does that mean? To whatever degree you're hanging on and you won't change and you won't get the sin out and put the right in, you're limiting the expansion. You say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him. Wait a minute. You ought to change that song. 50% to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. For some of you, I used to give 80, now I'm 30. The more full you are, the more sure you'll be of your salvation. The more full you are, listen, the more people you'll be influencing for heaven. The primary purpose for the Spirit of God being given was to keep people out of hell. The more full you are, the better you'll understand His Word, the more comfort you'll receive, the more you'll be convicted, listen, over your sins. We're good at being convicted over everybody else's. I'll tell you what's wrong with my child. Well, do you know what's wrong with you? The more you're full, the more guidance you'll get. The more you're full, the better your attitude will be. It'll be a spiritual attitude. The less full you are, the less sure you'll be of your salvation. The less soul winning you'll do. Less understanding of His Word. You know, can I tell y'all something? Listen to this. Some of you that are backslidden, nobody knows it. God does. You can thank God of all the Bible that you learned a long time ago, back when you cared about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because it's the only thing that carries you today. The only reason you look like a Christian today, or somebody thinks you're a Christian today, it's not because of anything new that you've gained from God. You're living off a past blessing. Back when the Spirit of God meant something to you, God put something inside of you, but some of you are living on borrowed time. You're living on borrowed learning. You're living on borrowed standards. You developed them back when you cared. But now you know enough about it to do it on your own, and you can hobble along and fake it and be spiritual on the surface while you are deflated entirely on the inside. The less full you are, the less soul winning. The less full you are, the less understanding. And I'm talking about understanding of the Scripture that's new to you. The less comfort you'll have, the less you'll be convicted of your sin. I'll tell you something. I watched two preachers. I preached Tuesday night at a conference in Memphis. Do you know who the first two people on their knees were? The two preachers there. They came to the altar. They were just overwhelmed. You say, shouldn't it have been the raggedy old street person that didn't care? Oh, no. No, those filled with the Holy Spirit of God are more sensitive to their sins. The less full you are, the less guidance, the less apt you are to do right and to practice evil in your life. You know something? If I were here today and I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. You say, why? Because if you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. You're on your own. You're on your own. You're on your own for heaven, and you won't make it without Him. You're on your own for understanding. You're on your own for comfort. You're on your own for wisdom. You're on your own to help people. Well, I'd rather have God helping me to help people. If you're unsaved, you got to get saved to have the Holy Spirit of God active in your life. Unsaved people are not, they're dead on the inside. They don't have a living spirit inside them. If you're a Christian, could I recommend the fullness of the Spirit of God? For some of you, ask yourself this question. How full have you allowed Him to become in your life? When's the last time you had even a conversation with the Spirit of God? When's the last time it even was a consideration of yours? Oh, I'm just busy, you know, taking care of all my stuff. Without Him? Boy, that might be why you're so far off track. And there's some you're further off track than what you believe. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know the sermon is so simple, almost embarrassingly simple. I call it the simple truth about the Holy Spirit. First question is a very serious question, and a lot of preachers wouldn't ask it, and I almost fear asking it, but I'm going to. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? I don't want you to raise your hand. That way you can go ahead and be honest with your answer. But if not, you say, I'd like to be a good mother. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? I'd like to be a good father. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Think you can do it on your own? You're smart enough to do it without Him? I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good wife. Spirit of God. It takes those things. Now, I've asked one question. No hands raised. I'll ask another to which you may respond. Who here would say, preacher, God has reached deep in my heart today. The importance of the Spirit of God needs to be reapproached in my life. I'm afraid I've been maybe even living off of some past blessings. Back when God really did speak to my heart and I let Him. But who here would say, God has spoken to my heart about this issue of the Spirit of God in my life today? Would you raise your hand? There are hands up already. I hope some of you will take that seriously, and I hope you can put some aggression in your life and do something about it. Let the Spirit of God fill you. You have all of him. He just doesn't have all of you. For some of you, that means change your life. It means get some things out of your life that you've let creep in. You're backslidden. You're not what you used to be for God. Get it right. And he can refill those areas of your life. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died this very day, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm born again. Would you raise your hand? We're going to have an altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to resubmit yourself to God's Spirit? How long has it been, Christian, since you had a concern about the Spirit of God? You just admire someone that would talk about him, or does it matter to you? You remember when you used to care about the Spirit of God? Do you remember?